reconvene this assembly meeting at 8:10 PM. Next item on their list is 13E, approval to form a special ed set committee.
Move to approve the formation of a special ed set committee of at least three and up to eight, consisting of the borough manager, the school superintendent, a member of the Wrangell Cooperative Association, and the option to include one member from each of the following: borough assembly, borough staff, a member of the business community, or the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce, a member of the school board and/or school staff, to meet at least quarterly to track progress and address concerns and questions on the AMSEP-style residential high school in Wrangell.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I'm just worried that quarterly may not be often enough, but I guess if we have updates regularly. I've had community members come and speak with me about, I mean, basically asking why we gave away land already, and I've tried to assure people that nothing has been given to anybody, and that really there's, you know, in terms of proposal, I have never seen anything regarding a proposal for utilization of that land. And my understanding is there's going to be probably a lot of discussion around, you know, how that's going to tie in together. There was multiple plans and multiple layers. So I just want to, that's my only concern, is that quarterly, as we get into this thing, we may need a bit more than quarterly on it.
It does say at least quarterly, so that tells me that we can elect to meet more often if necessary.
Any further discussion? I'll just say that it's on this member of the assembly that should be David Powell.
Sounds good.
Since he's already getting involved in this, if you would agree to that.
I'll agree to that. If everybody else will.
But we have to adopt it first. Hold on, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prisanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13F, approval of a bid received for the asphalt paving project.
Move to approve a contract to Colaskan Incorporated, doing business as Secon, for the asphalt road paving project in the amount of $189,747,000, which will come from the budgeted line item street paving in the sales tax street fund.
Second.
Who was that?
I don't care.
Was it Prisanka?
Prisanka. Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Right here.
Yes.
I know this is the budget item, and we approved the budget and everything. Amber, please. I have questions here, okay? Looking through this thing and everything, we're kind of doing like piecemealing, it looks like to me. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I was just wondering why we don't like pick a road, do that one this year, then pick a road, do this one next year, and do them completely rather than trying to piecemeal them together and then come back later. And looks like to me, and take another section and do it again. It just kind of looks weird to me that we're doing it that way. And I was just wondering why we're piecemealing them and not just doing one of these projects completely and then the next year do another one.
Sure. Fair question. We looked at that, and a couple of reasons. Because number one, Third Street is our priority because of the drainage issues that are occurring there. We don't have enough money to do that entire street with $250,000 that we have. Likely there's a lot of work to be done. And before we go through and do a complete road, you know, we would want to evaluate whether the water and sewer utilities are good, and, you know, how much time and effort do we put into repaving a road that may have some older utilities. So our thought is, could we pick some of the worst of the streets and fix those portions of them that are creating those problems? We felt like that might be a way to kind of get us a little funding challenge that we're going to have for the next few years. If we do one project, we would probably pick Third Street and we wouldn't be able to do any of the others. Whereas, you know, the longevity of Third Street, the rest of it, well, we don't have included here, it could get us through for another, you know, 5 to 10 years. You may have to come in and do some patching, you know, throughout, depending on how quickly it deteriorates throughout the rest of the project. But we've seen Third Street deteriorate on that lower portion right off of Mission at a very fast rate over the last year. So we could tackle it a couple of ways. This is the way we thought we could get more bang for our buck and kind of distribute those funds across town and fix some of the, you know, portions of some of the worst streets.
Yeah, another thing was is, do we own a chip seal machine or anything like that, or do we just own a patch machine?
We own an asphalt recycling machine that does 3-foot strips of asphalt patching.
Okay.
We also own a seal coat machine. It's not a chip seal, but it comes through and it will seal your paved roads for longevity, which is something we're exploring. That machine was purchased maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and it's never been used. And there are some issues with it. It was used for a purpose it wasn't intended for, and that's another thing I need to look into is figuring out, is it damaged? Is it something that we can use? We have a seal coat contractor that actually just moved to town. He has a seal coat machine of his own, and he's familiar with them. And he's offered to come and help us take a look at that and determine our needs and work with the manufacturer. We'll just kind of see what, if we're going to be able to use that machine at all. But we would like to, and that's the other piece that we want to do for streets this year, is pick some of the streets that need to be sealed to preserve and provide some longevity for them.
Okay.
Yes.
One last thing. You've probably seen a few people in town that have had asphalt driveways and stuff, and they come in and basically put a oil material over them, and it seals all the cracks and stuff, so you don't get water in there and freezing and thawing and all that. So that's kind of what we would be looking at for some of these streets, to add life to them as they kind of get to a certain point. But anyway, it is something we've got money in the budget for, in addition to these streets. So I don't know which street, Amber, Church Street,
Church
or
Street,
Reed Street, or
Church Street is the first one we want.
Yeah, but it will hopefully add some life.
So my other question was, I call it the low road, so you guys can correct me on what road that is, and it's grew up as a low road, so what is that?
Case Avenue.
It's concrete, and I've had a lot of people talk to me about the lower drains, people driving into them, and since it's concrete, we can't, you know, pick a couple drains every so often and fix them?
Yes, we did that last year. We did 6 of them,
mm-hmm.
and we plan to do several this year as well.
Okay,
yeah.
That's great.
And that was part of the budget.
Okay.
Well, I agree with Dave. I have a problem if we're going to tear a road up and completely rebuild it, and you go dump the $20,000 or $30,000 on to patch it. I really think we need to take you get $109,000 here. I don't know how much of that is patchwork and how much of it is construction, but I hate to see us spending that, and in a couple of years we've got to tear it all out again and start all over again.
No, we're going to take it all out. We're going to put rock in, so there won't be any, we're not patching over the top
okay.
of any old concrete
okay.
or asphalt. We're going to take all the asphalt out in those areas, in that section, and put rock in and roll it and do all those things before we, and then we'll completely pave again.
Okay.
Yeah, it's.
So it's not something we're going to tear up again in a few years?
No. This okay. should, I mean, whatever these patches are, when we say patches, we're patching the whole length of a road, but we're just taking one section and completely redoing it. We're not, but a lot of those places, because we do have limited funds, you go up the street and it's just falling apart in one area. You go up the street a little ways and it's, like she said, you might have 5 or 10 years of life left in it. So you don't want to tear that up because you've got limited funds anyway. But yeah, we're not patching, we're completely redoing the sections that we are doing from right up to the new rock up and compacted and paving.
And And so most of the areas that we've picked, I didn't actually give you the links. I gave you the square yardage, which was included in the bid. For example, Third Street, there would be the full width and the first 350 feet of that road. So it's a large patch, and we're not talking about.
How far up would that take you, Amber?
That takes you just past Frankie Sherry Young's driveway.
Pretty good length.
So you're starting to climb the hill, but you're not quite all the way to the crest of it. And these sections of the road, you know, they are, you know, at some point it was kind of where do you stop and start, because, or where do you stop, just because a lot of the road is bad. But we picked the sections and went as far as we could go that we thought we could afford, where the asphalt has pretty much started to alligator. So it's beyond the point where we can actually go in and fill potholes reasonably. And take care of it. We had one road that we tried to, it was so bad that we tried to just bring in gravel to create more of a gravel pad. We didn't pull the asphalt, but that was kind of the next thing we were going to do if this didn't happen. Just pull the asphalt because it's so bad, most of it's gone. It would have been better for us just to completely remove all of that, bring a section of D1 in, and create a section of gravel road that would meet up with the rest of the asphalt road. But some of these roads are that bad.
I will say that we raised a little over in this fund, the sales tax fund, it's 4% of the total sales tax money we collect. So we collect about $2.6 million. And so it's a little over $100,000 a year. And so you look at Front Street, our portion of that, which came from here, was close to $1 million. So you can see how long that took to raise that money. And then Evergreen is going to be $600,000, our share, or more.
Maybe more.
Mm-hmm. And we do have that in there set aside, but you can see when you have a big project like that, it just really eats up any these other things you can do. So, Front Street's done, Evergreen gets done. Hopefully we can start building some money up and do, you know, maybe every other year, do a couple $100,000 and keep kind of doing some things. But when you have those big projects, they eat up years and years worth of the money that came in, so difficult to save.
Any further discussion? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13G was approved under consent agenda. 13H, discussion and possible action regarding a new water treatment facility. This was added at my request for two reasons. Basically, the first reason is to keep the public informed on what's happening with the water situation. And that it's not a, because it's raining and raining hard on some of these days that we still are in a situation. It's not the water availability, it's the water treatment, and that is an issue. So just because it's raining doesn't mean you can go wash your boat or your car. And then Amber, you were going to give us an update on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to share with you the work that we've been doing over the last week to look at either short range or long range options to helping us. You know, last week we would have done anything had the money been there the next day to put something immediate in place. A lot of those immediate solutions aren't really available immediately. So we've kind of had to go back and balance, you know, what's feasible to put in place now that could help us for the next, let's say, 9 months. We are going to see a slowdown a little bit after our seasonal, our peak season ends here in a few weeks. There's not much that we felt like we could accomplish after we started making phone calls and talking to DEC about what would be required to, say, put a temporary treatment plant in. So we had to kind of weigh what can we do now, what is the cost benefit of doing something now versus waiting until some point in the future, because we have a pilot plant going on. And there is the possibility with the the staff treatment process, to have something in place, funding, depending on funding, by next year. So we've kind of hashed all this out with the engineers, with DEC, and I thought I'd just give you a little overview of what we're looking at. So the first thing that we talked about last week was providing a temporary treatment plant, which they're available at a variety of different levels for treatment. You could have just a filtration system come in to kind of fill in your filtration portion, or you could have a complete plant come in and do it all. Any of these systems would take time. It would require engineering and design that would have to be approved by DEC, and then it would be acquisition of the plant, whatever that looked like, whatever component or full system would be required. And then it's getting here, and then it's implementing it with our current system. There'd be mechanical work to be done. So we're talking about, on average, we were told it could take up to a year. There's not a lot of on-the-shelf systems, and to provide, number one, the system that would take care of all of our water treatment plant, you're talking about a sizable plant that would require probably, could take up to a year to design and get it approved. So those systems, while some of the smaller systems that maybe they use in camps could be available as an off-the-shelf, and something that DEC could approve in short order, say, 30 days, 60 days, it probably wouldn't meet our needs. So we've kind of ruled that as an unlikely option for us at this point, especially considering we kind of feel like we'll be back. I mean, we are doing well. We have people conserving. We've got the seafood processors who are implementing water saving measures within their processes. We don't really feel like that's a viable option for us right now, especially considering the time and expense that it would take. And we're looking at possibly close to $1 million to put something like that in place. So what we have done is continued our research, looking at short-range solutions. One of the things you heard about last week was proposed modifications to our wetting filter. That's kind of the pre-filter system before it gets to our sand filters. There have always been some issues with that process, whereby as the water flows into that filter, it's supposed to trap the sediment before it sends the water to the next process. Because it's not trapping the water, there's no place for it to trap the sediment. That water continues to flow through the media that has the sediment clogging in it. So Wayne's idea is to make some modifications that would allow that sediment to drop out and hopefully be able to have a better quality water leaving that system. Tried to offer to purchase those materials for us. They've all been procured and are on the barge tomorrow as we speak. They've been sitting, they missed the barge by a day last week. One thing couldn't get there. So we'll have those materials here next Monday, Tuesday. We do have to get DEC approval for those modifications to our system. So we're going to start that conversation with them on Friday when Wayne gets back from the doctor. Our hope is that we can gain 10-20% improvement on that filtration system, and even that would go a long way to assist us with that. That's something that can be done in short order and potentially provide us an immediate result. The other thing that we've been working on with CRW, who is the engineers who are working on our pilot plant with us, they've come up with an option for us. One of the problems with our sand filters are that they're clogged. They've been clogged. It's the original sand media that was installed back in 1989 or 1998 when the plant came online. Sand's never been removed, replaced, washed. It's the same exact sand that was placed in there 17 years ago. So there's been some talk over the last few years about how to clean that or replace it. Back in 2008, I found a quote to replace all the sand for almost $600,000. And that's just acquiring the sand. That's not been the labor to extract all of the old sand, dispose of it, and then put the new sand in place. The new sand comes in dry. It's got a silica product in it, and it has to be installed by someone who's trained in full suit to deal with that hazardous material. It becomes non-hazardous when it's wet, but as it's drying, like in the filter, there's more there would be more cost to actually employ someone to place that sand, and our staff's not trained at this time for that. So I think that's probably why funding issues have probably been why the sand hasn't been replaced, but there are some options. And CRW, we talked about this today, they're proposing dredging of the filters. They did this a similar project in Angoon several years ago. And basically what they would be doing is using like a hand, a hydraulic suction dredge to take the sand, it would be fluidized, you'd be pumping it. It would never leave the filter. It would be pumped into a section of the filter where it could be stored, and you would do sections of the filter at a time, relocating the sand around. We could probably, they're going to work on putting, kind of flushing out the system and putting a work plan together for us, but they're estimating that that could be $3,000 worth of materials, and then I'm estimating maybe about, it'd be labor intensive, but close to maybe $20,000 of labor to do one for the filters. But very cost effective as opposed to replacing the sand, and something has to be done with that sand. It's old, it's clogged, but that's one of the biggest problems, is that, and we just can't clean it fast enough and well enough for it to build up over a longer period of time and work for us longer. So when we're doing, we're cleaning a filter a day this time of year, it should be, you know, no sooner than 1 month to 12 months is typical for these, depending on how dirty their water is. So worst case scenario, they should last you a month and they're lasting us a week. So that's another thing that we can do. We wouldn't be able to pursue that work now because we couldn't withstand the taking one filter offline based on the supply that we need. But that's something that we could definitely accomplish and tackle that in the future. So we're going to move forward with that. It would likely cause a budget amendment to this year's budget that's been approved. But we will identify the cost a little bit more and come back to you with that. We talked about the need for a second water storage container. 150,000 gallons of water gets flushed off the top of the filter every time we clean it. It's not completely treated water, it's pre-treated water. But it's water that we have ozonated, it's gone through the roughing filters, and we're just, you know, we're losing that potential for additional water that's been pre-treated. One of the ideas was to be able to have a container where we could drain that water off of the filter, capture it, and then reuse that water to flush the filter once it's taken down and cleaned. Because we typically call for about 50 to 60,000 gallons from our treated water to do that back flush. So if this reserved water could be used and returned to that filter to do the backwash, we could be saving that water, that treated water that we're calling for from the tanks. So just another way to reuse and save. The cost of a steel tank to hold the capacity of water that we need would probably bring us $250,000 at best, maybe more. What I'd like to explore is the option to use a fuel tank. And I've talked to the engineers about this. It's something we would need to continue conversations with DEC about. But they have used them in the past. I understand there might be a fuel tank that could be used, maybe even in town, if one was decommissioned. Quite a process to get that to the point where we'd be allowed to use it, but it's doable. We don't have any costs associated with it right now, but it's something we want to explore. Whether the tank is welded or bolted, you would need to clean that. You need to disassemble it if it's bolted or cut a hole in it if it's welded. So it's not a confined space. You could get in, wash it, sandblast it, and recoat it with the NSF coating. But it's basically the coating that they're concerned about. So you have to get that old coating off, put a new coating on. And that could be something that we want to look at. How quickly we could get that done, even if it was an option to have a tank like that to kind of cut costs, I don't know. But we're going to explore that, that is an option. Otherwise, we'll continue to lose that water. We've got to figure out a way to to contain it. We thought about some ideas. Could we somehow, without a containment, be able to pipe it back and capture it without having to have a holding tank? There are some thoughts going on about that right now, so we'll continue to put that in place too, and just weigh our options. And it would require, you know, quite a bit of piping renovations, but doable, probably. So that's another option we're looking at. And then CRW, the other thing that they've given us, kind of as a, you know, aside from what we looked at and prior to going through that long range solution, which would be having a brand new plant, whether it's the DAF plant or whatever we decide to do, is a cartridge filtration system. And the idea behind this is it would take the place of our refing filter system, improve that quality of water, and the refing filters are problems too. It could improve the quality of the water right now and how fast it's going through. And they at first told me that it could take the place of all of our filtration systems, and I asked them, I said, well, if that was the case, if you could replace both the filter, the refing filters and the sand filters, why couldn't that, since those are our biggest problems, become what we do to correct our problem? The answer I got back was that those systems, while they could help us in the short term, they don't do anything for us as far as the overall speed or the flow at which we're going to get treated water, and nor will they improve the quality of the water. So they have some deficiencies there. So they're not really, in and of themselves, they're not a good option for us to use as the only thing we'd look at for a long-term solution. The cost to design and implement those filter systems is about $150,000. It could be done within about 8 weeks. So this could be a little bit earlier, long-range option. I prefer not to pursue that right now because by that time we're going to be past our peak time again. If we go ahead and do the roughing filter idea and we see that there's improvement there, my thought is that we would have time before we get to the next season. If we felt like we were behind the eight ball and we needed to implement something, we would have time to make that decision and implement that at that time. Another benefit to that cartridge system is that it could also provide us a, there could be an added benefit to implementing that when, say, the DAF, the new plant were to come online. Because that new plant is proposed to go in the roughing filter, we wouldn't have to create a new footprint for it. That roughing filter would then have to come offline, and we'd have to figure out how to provide or augment that process back in the system. So something that I'd like to keep on the back burner, but I don't think we're at a point where we should spend $150,000 for that system that's not going to provide us something in the long run as a long-term solution. But the other good news is that we talked to CRW about adding the preliminary engineering report to their scope, current scope of work for the pilot plant. And this is the report that is required by USDA to make us eligible to apply for their water and wastewater program, which is what they've encouraged us to apply to, understanding our problems. They say they have money, whether in the end we'd be accepted and provided a one or a grant, we would have to apply to find out. But we can't, we're not eligible to even submit until we have the preliminary engineering report. So I'm developing a scope to send to them, and then give us a price to include that in their scope. It would be an amendment to their contract. So I'd be bringing that back to you here in the next week or two. Although you don't need to begin until in August. So we might call a special meeting. That said, it would be possible to start preparing that report concurrent with the pilot plant's testing. They could start that, have everything ready, just kind of waiting on the results of the testing procedures. Finalize that report once they have good data and we confirm that the DAF is what we want to go after. We could likely then submit an application to USDA either before the end of the year or soon after the beginning of the year. and there's a little bit of time process that this USDA project takes to get funding in place, but they feel like the DAF plant could be online post-funding securing within, at best, within 12 months, but they think maybe earlier. And they're willing to help us fast-track this, to at least to get to a point where we can start looking for funding. So that's where we're at right now. We're doing well, again, with Faith Trident at the seed level for doing what they can, and Trident for stepping up and procuring those materials for us. They have access to vendors that I would, you know, take me a couple of days to probably secure and figure out who's got what. So definitely save a little time in getting that material going. Any questions or comments about some of our thoughts?
First off, I'd like to say thank you to Trident and to Sea Level for all the help that they've given us and for working with us on this. It really makes things a lot easier when you have companies like that that are willing to work with you. Secondly, during all the things that you just talked about, I didn't hear anything about working towards setting up the bypass to the upper reservoir so that we can start working on cleaning out that lower one. Because if we improve the quality of water that's going into the plant to begin with, it's going to make a lot of these other problems much, much easier to deal with. So if at all possible the money's there and we're running out of time to use it, I'd love to see something get started on that this winter if it's at all feasible.
We will start addressing that, try to get an RFP out before the end of the year.
Yes.
Okay. I got a chance to go up and tour the plant up there. I can't remember what day it was. Last week, and talked to the young man that was putting the pilot program in there, and looked pretty neat operation. He explained it all to me, and Mayor Jack was with us, and explained how it worked. It looked pretty interesting. One problem I had was he had a big book about this whole pilot program that I never seen. I don't know if anybody else ever seen it, but it was kind of interesting to read, and I just like to say that if there's more stuff like that, I'd like to get it. I'd like to see what it is, and like to do my little research on it myself too. And then there's a couple other things about the plant that I actually called and talked to some people, and talked to the gentleman that used to run the plant. And the other night, and we had this emergency meeting, I asked Wayne if there was a thing that we could get more people to take care of this. And talking to the gentleman that used to run the plant, when they first put this plant in, they knew it wasn't going to work when they had to shovel all the sand out. Is that big pile of sand that's out there? Mm-hmm. So was that, when you said it was never replaced, wasn't that replaced at one time, or is that different stuff?
That pile of sand is what was extracted from the beginning, from some of it, and mostly from one of the filters, which is low. That filter's been low for some time, and it needs to be supplemented with the proper amount of sand, because okay. It doesn't work to its, even as clogged as the filters are, it's being reduced in its capacity to produce water without the full amount of sand in there. So that's the other thing that needs to happen, is that filter needs to come up to speed on its sand level.
Okay, and the other thing was, they tried rototillers and four-wheelers, and if I remember this right, the reason why they got those taken out of there is something to do with DEC and closed confinement with exhaust and all that, is that correct?
That's an issue that we've been dealing with. OSHA, we invited OSHA to town back in May. They came through and looked at all of our processes, not just at the water treatment plant, but they reviewed all of the city departments. Mm-hmm. It was consultation, not enforcement, so we said, please come in, review our systems, tell us what we need to fix. One of the issues they had was using the ATVs in those bays. They didn't actually consider it a confined space, but because of the change in atmosphere and the risk that it poses to our employees, we are treating it as a confined space.
Okay.
And that's why we were using the SCBAs in there, because of the change in the atmosphere. OSHA has mechanism that will clean those filters properly, as well as the ATVs are doing, we have to continue using them. We've tried hand raking and it just doesn't work. The shoveling doesn't work. The ATVs are the best thing that they have figured out to take care of those as we need to.
Okay, so that brought up another thing is I asked how this whole thing got brought up with how I knew about that with the OSHA. Was I asked about what those power, those SBCs, is that what you call them?
SCBAs.
SCBAs, what those were designed for, what they were for and stuff. And I got kind of a bad answer. I got an answer that those are the fire departments and they would be requesting them to be bought, them to be purchased and from the city, and they were told no. I don't know if that's true or not, but when it comes to safety of our city workers and all that stuff, if they request something, I would like to see it purchased.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So the history on that is that they've been borrowing, we've been borrowing the SCBAs from the fire department for years. And there was some concern about needing to get the SCBAs back. Fire department needed to send them out and get them tested. So we have since purchased our own. We've been waiting on them for several weeks to arrive, so we're still using the fire departments, but we have purchased our own so we can be self-contained. We'll still have to take our cylinders down to the fire department and get them filled.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we'll work out with them, but absolutely, yes, we determined that we need to have our own, we need to be self-sufficient, and those are, they should be here this week.
Okay. So on this pilot plant, when we get it through there, this is a 2-month thing, is that correct? It's only a couple months?
6 to 8 weeks is the amount of time that they'll test the water. They think they'll get enough good results, and that'll be a good time frame to give them some good results.
Okay.
With testing. Yeah. Okay. And just kind of going back, let me tack this on. If the DAF system is something that we end up putting in place, that system will completely go away with our sand filter process. That will go away, and there's the thought that we could use the 4 bays as additional storage if it seemed to be something that we wanted to pursue, treated water storage.
And also, if I recollect this right, the young man said these are totally expandable.
Yes.
As we need more water, we can buy more to expand the system. I just wanted to put that out there for the people in town to know that this is something that's expandable, unlike what we have right now.
You had mentioned using the ATVs in there, and there were issues with exhaust and things like that. They manufacture ATVs that are all electric. Have we considered anything along those lines?
We looked at that because you have to have a level of water in the filter still to do the work. We were concerned about damaging the electronics. Wayne looked at that as an option. There are a couple of other things we've looked at, and the one thing too that we budgeted for this year, and it's in the current budget, is to provide some ventilation in those bays, which will go a long way with helping to clear the air. And CRW is helping us with that too, just providing some calculations on airflow and making some recommendations on fans and exhaust, and then we'll move forward and implement that this year. It'll go a long way with that process. It will still be needing to do on a basis.
The reason they use ATVs in there is they pull a disc harrow behind it, and they have like 6 inches of water in there, and they run that ATV pulling that disc harrow, which brings all of that junk and suspends it in the water, which then it gets flushed out. That's basically how the filters are cleaned with those ATVs.
That's
and like you mentioned, using electrical and water wouldn't work too good.
Well, even the gas-powered engines, they have batteries and things with it. This would just be an all-electric engine.
But the air pack deal, there's another issue with that, is the ozone. That's can be a very lethal gas. And they're using ozone up there. I don't see why they have never had their own up there anyway. Why they have to borrow from the fire department to have safety equipment. You know, I mean, fire department needs that for their own safety. And I mean, these items aren't that expensive, and one lawsuit would buy bunches of them.
Well, and more importantly, I mean, they're needed to protect our workers. So we have moved forward for that, and hopefully we'll have it soon.
On the electric four-wheelers, the problem is they're not enough power. That would, because I talked to Wayne about it. In fact, I talked to Jeff about it when it came on the budget, and I didn't want to see it because there's a lot of problems with them also. They're not designed to go in a circle all day long. U-joints go out, all that stuff. So that's kind of a temporary fix is what it really is. And the electric ones just don't have enough power to pull that in.
I mentioned at the beginning that there was two reasons that I had this put on the agenda, and we've been discussing the first. The other one is the plant itself, a new water treatment plant. You know, during this last situation, we had lots of money leaving this community or bypassing this community, going to Ketchikan in fish taxes, and that would have, we don't want to see this again, and we need to do something, and this is going to be, if I have to, I'll have this on the agenda every assembly meeting to just keep it in the mind, and that we're, this facility is going to get built. We need it, the people need it, and if we're to expand and grow this community, we have to have the infrastructure, and water is a very important part of that infrastructure. Yes.
Collectively, the two plants have reduced 60-70% of their consumption. It's over 50% is what I've read. So what I kind of don't want to get back into is that when the water's back up, that we wind up burning through water down there again. We are capable now of not using that water. And our new plant, my hope is that we are now looking at conservation measures at both plants that will help, because we're working off old numbers now. All of a sudden, we've been able to change things to dramatically reduce the amount of water we're using. So I want to make sure we're incorporating our new data into these plans, because things have dramatically changed. When we push came to shove, we were able to reduce a lot of water going down to the plants.
Yeah, and some of, not all of those measures are complete yet, so we don't have the best data yet, but we're hoping to see that soon. And Mayor, if you'd like, I can just make a habit of providing this to Jeff in each of his assembly reports, just what our progress is. If you'd like to address it that way, we can just make it a every meeting, you'll have a report on where the water.
Well, he's been keeping us pretty well informed, I think. I think every assembly member's been getting emails on the situation on a regular basis. And if that just keeps up, it would be a help. Yes?
You know, at the meeting last week, I don't remember which processor, but it's probably true. It's, you know, the city seems to have a crisis all the time. Something's happening. But, you know, I think the message was there that, you know, this every year kind of we run into this, and when the processors, the fish leave and the processors close down, it's kind of forgot about. So I think that your idea that, you know, keeping this on the agenda almost as a, you know, an agenda report to keep everybody's focus, that we don't want to lose track of it, and okay, we've made it through the summer, let's go on to something else. I think it is important to keep this on the front burner, and I think we need to look at all our options and what makes sense financially, what kind of plant we get, how fast can we get that, and what are we going to do in the interim. So, but anyway, we'll keep looking at options and bring back things to the assembly that we think seem to make sense and are cost effective that will make a difference.
Now, one thing I wanted to, one real thing that I think is very important is mention that this was an ongoing issue that's been with the city for, since that plant was built. It was not workable at the, when it was brand new. And everybody realized it. And 15 years later down the road, you know, we're still studying. And we can study an item to death and not get anything solved. And I think there comes a time when you have to quit studying pilot projects and start doing. And I think that's the time has come, way past due. And if this, I would, in my opinion, if this situation, this dissolved air filtration system works, like it seems to be, simply remember Powell and I saw some videos of it while we were up there, short little videos, of how they actually work. And it seems like it'll work to me. And I don't think we should go out and spend thousands of dollars more for another project on something else if this system works for us. If it's going to work, let's get it and get it done.
Yeah, so on the flip side, I don't want to just rush into something and wind up 15 years from now saying, goodness gracious, we didn't get the right system. We've been down that road. My guess is we didn't study enough, not too much on the last system. So I really, you know, it sounds like we've got a pretty good process moving forward there. And I'd sure hate to rush things now. And as well, it sounds like if we can get this attachment put in there, we may be able to secure additional funds. So I think I love the idea of the conservation side of it to get us through this year while we're finishing up the other things. And my biggest worry is that people are going to start turning on the faucets again because there's no problem. Or the plant says, well, we've got lots of water now, we can turn off our saltwater portions and start using fresh. I want to keep everybody motivated to not just waste water, because it's amazing how much better we're doing with some small conservation measures.
Yeah, and speaking about the seafood processors, I don't think their intention is to switch back over to fresh water for those systems that they're converting to saltwater now. I think that they've made a conscientious effort to determine what processes can use saltwater for the long run.
Good.
And that's my assumption. But they put a lot of money and systems in place for this, so I think that this is something they determine that they can have in place for a long time.
Great.
Yeah. Anything further on this? Well, thank you, everyone, for your comments. Next item on the agenda is 13I, approval of easement for lot 14, block 13, Campbell Reef subdivision, and approval to file disclaimer of interest in quiet title action.
Move to approve filing the easement, lot 14, block 13, Campbell Reef subdivision, owned by Walter L. Moorhead, and to authorize the Borough Assembly to file a disclaimer of interest on said property.
Second.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, it's not Borough Assembly, it's Borough Attorney.
Borough Attorney.
What was that?
He stated Borough Assembly, and it should have been Borough Attorney on the motion.
Oh, okay. Yes.
He
seconded.
Okay. Just real quick, Mr. Moorhead's in the audience here. I believe what happened is he was doing some title work, and there was a glitch in his title that showed possibly that the city had an interest in this property. We clearly don't. We don't believe we have. We don't. We've gone through this with another person in town here not that long ago, and the people, there's been several change of ownerships over the last 50 years. They've all been paying taxes, and at this point we're assisting Mr. Moorhead in cleaning this up. There is an easement that we had requested. Mr. Moorhead was kind enough to work with us to grant us that for a sewer line, I believe. Sewer line? Yeah. And so anyway, he's certainly here if you have any questions, but anyway, we're just, like I said, trying to get this, help him get this cleaned up.
I'd just like to say, apologize for making you sit here for 2 hours through all of this other. It never occurred to me to move it forward on the agenda so you could get it done and go home and eat your dinner.
Oh, I already ate. It's fascinating anyway. I just took a chance.
Well, we're glad to have somebody in the audience anyway.
Yeah.
Rudy gets kind of lonely back there most of the time. Any further discussion on this item? Hold on, please.
Assemblymembers Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13J, proposed resolution number 07-16-1346. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for new job description for the new position of a Public Works Administrative Assistant.
Move to adopt resolution 07-16-1346 for a new position of Public Works Administrative Assistant.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I know that this has been talked about and probably researched, and if it wasn't absolutely necessary, you wouldn't be asking for it. But we just voted tonight to increase fees in several areas, along with we're talking about maybe fees having to go up on other things. We cut down to one tax-free day a year because money is so tight. I kind of have an issue with adding a new position, a new employee to the city roles.
Let me explain that a little bit. We did have a project manager. It was 40 hours a week, full time, all the benefits and everything else. And this is basically taking that position out and putting this in place at 20 hours a week. It will actually reduce the cost to the city.
Okay.
And that's absolutely correct. And I think some of it too is that as the state has less money, we're having less and less projects, and the project engineer position was, you know, not going to be useful
just
as it has been.
As much as
and this one's, there's still a lot of things, project related things that the public works director will have to do. Somehow we need to free up some time for her to, she gets the calls and my garbage wasn't picked up and, you know, all kind of things like that that someone else can do. There's people that can do some legwork for her that would be very beneficial, and we hope this is effective.
I think there can be real false economy in cutting positions sometimes, because as people get overworked, things get missed. And I'm not saying Amber's missing things, but as she's getting overworked on things that somebody else could be doing at a lesser fee, it becomes, we can have issues that maybe we wouldn't have if she's able to do her job and focus in on the things that are her specialty and the skill area. So I support this wholeheartedly and really want to see this available as a tool for Amber to create greater efficiencies where she works.
I can see that contractor list, a place for it to go.
Yeah.
That was going to be my point. Exactly. I think that as this person comes up to speed, it's the perfect place where they have someone overseeing it, but the day-to-day operations of that contractor list could be handled in this position, in my opinion.
Yeah, the only thing that I guess I don't like about that idea is, and not that I want Kim to have more work, but she's viewed probably better as, because she doesn't actually work with the contractors as far as doing things. I think in her office it is looked at, I think, more as an independent, but if you had it in a department heads that uses all them, you know, you're going to get that, well, they're, that office is manipulating the process to get what they want. And I think it does keep it, whether it's, if it's in this building somewhere, I think it's just, and I'm not not volunteering the fire finance department, but they're going to be putting in this new accounting system, and they're going to be swamped over the next year or so. But I think that's the only reason that I would say maybe not. Other than that, you know, I wouldn't care.
We already have that. Amber's putting, her department puts together bids and bid proposals, and you could make the same complaint about that. Why doesn't Kim do that? Because she's removed and she doesn't, you know. So what I'm worrying about is that we have some people that complain about the fairness of the process, and from my perspective, I don't see that as an issue. But I just to throw that out there, I don't think a right away thing, but I also, you know, it's so removed for Kim, and it's a part of their world. I just think it may be more efficiently administrated there.
Yeah.
I do think there's a conflict of interest in the fact that Amber has to deal with these construction people every day. So if she has a problem with one of them, and then all of a sudden they don't feel like they're getting the work, there's no third party to look at it. I think you have to have a third party outside of Amber's office to have the appearance that this is being fair.
Go ahead.
I disagree. Only because, I mean, and I don't mind doing it, at least for the time being, and then when this person comes online, we can take a look at it again. I think as far as what you brought up, when the contractor's policy was adopted, you know, as far as the administrative part of it, that's what I do, you know. As far as the contracting part of it and figuring out who gets what and doing all that, you know, that really is, in my opinion, a public works thing.
Well, we're kind of getting off the issue of the resolution,
yeah.
So
yeah. But we can look at that.
That can be discussed at a later time, I think, probably. Anybody have any further discussion on the resolution? Poll, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13K, proposed resolution number 07-16-1347. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, formally submitting a municipal harbor facility grant application to the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, DOT and PF, in the amount of $5 million for the Shoemaker Bay Harbor Project.
I move to adopt resolution number 07-16-1347.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file summary report was provided to the Assembly. Item 15, executive session. 15A, options for disposing of the belt freezer facility.
I'd move pursuant to AS 44.62.310C1 that we recess into executive session, discuss matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finance of the borough, specifically the options of disposing the belt freezer facility.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? And we will recess into.
Oh, we got a vote.
We got a vote. Yeah. Oh, well, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Now we will.
And you will.
Am invite? I invited?
Yes, you are. We recess into executive session at 9:10 p.m.